It is the 19th of December. 13 games, a lot to talk about. I have some rants. I even have notes that I want to talk about. Maybe because it's the end of the year. Let's be brutally honest. This is the Thursday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter. Find me on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. And go and find us on Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, any podcast platform. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. 13 games, so we do have a lot to talk about. But I do have a couple of gripes that I want to... I just need to get it off my chest, really. First one is the refs. I do tweet about this from time to time when it just gets the better of me. Tonight happened again, and then also happened again in the very last game, so made me even more annoyed. The fact that now, and this is obviously my personal opinion. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. I just feel like the refs are taking all the emotion out of the game. This was specifically relating to the Boston game and the three technicals that they got, and Joe Mazzulla at the end of the game sort of basically lost his shit and wanted to fight anyone who would come near him. I certainly don't condone that. So I'm not saying what Mazzulla, how he behaved at the end there is justified, because it is not. But look, my issue to some degree is not even the technicals. As a player, and obviously never playing even close to this level, the two things that I look for in a good referee, and I would assume that NBA players would be the same, any basketball player would be the same, consistency, and we certainly don't get that in the NBA, not only from game to game, but from quarter to quarter, player to player, team to team. Obviously, every ref is going to be different because they're different human beings, but there's just no consistency in terms of how much emotion they allow players to demonstrate from, as I said, from quarter to quarter and from game to game. And for the players to get to a point in the game where you've been able to be emotional, show some, and then all of a sudden, tech, it just ruins the game completely. And I'm not surprised the players get frustrated. And the second thing that annoys me is referees... Actually, maybe there's three. The second thing is that referees, officials, who don't allow those emotions to be shown in a respectful manner. So players that will go up to the referees or the officials with a question and the referees basically turn them away. You talk to me again, you get a tech foul. There's no accountability for the referees in my eyes. The players, they get their tech fouls. They get punished, fined, whatever. What happens to the referees? Absolutely nothing. They don't have to come in front of the media and explain why they made a call. They never come out and say, yep, look, I got that one wrong. That's on me. I'm sure if any referee came out and said that, 99% of the players would be, okay, that's fine. Because the way it's portrayed is the referees are never wrong. The players are always wrong. I certainly don't condone certain behaviors, like coming at referees aggressively, swearing, that sort of thing, absolutely no place. But when it's simply asking a question, or as we saw in the very last game, if you were watching the Kings game, Sabonis got tech fouled for clapping at his own teammates. The referee saw him clap and tech didn't even give a warning, didn't question it. It was obvious that it was not directed at the referees. Tech foul. What happens to the refs? It didn't matter. If you look at the scoreboard, it didn't matter. Certainly, you could argue momentum, that sort of thing. The referees will not get reprimanded for that. Yes, the tech foul will probably be rescinded, but that doesn't help. it's just the referees just, they act like they're a protected species, and they're told, maybe they are told not to take any crap from the players. And I just think, as again, as a player, the referees are going to get a lot more respect. And look, a lot of them are respected, but they're going to get more respect if they don't necessarily act as though they're above the players and, no, you can't talk to me, no, you can't approach me. It really annoys me, as someone who has played, as someone who has coached and refereed. As a referee, my aim is to not be friends with the players, but I want there to be mutual respect. So I'm happy to take questions. I'm happy to talk to you. If now is not the time, I'll say, I'll come and find you after the game. I'll come and find you in the next time out, whatever it might be. But just to flat out refuse and then threaten with a tech, for me, is just not the way to go. And even the, sorry, I'm going on a bit here. Even the excuse of language on the court for a technical is crap, because if you have watched the Starting Five documentary on Netflix, which is very good, and Anthony Edwards, his language when he is on the court is disgusting. Like, for me, one of my issues with him is his language, the way he acts on the court. Yes, when you get emotional, there's going to be a little bit of swearing. He swears constantly. And so you can't tell me that language is an excuse for calling a technical foul. Otherwise, Anthony Edwards should be technical or teed up every game. And I'm sure he's not the only one. It was just that he happened to be on the documentary. Second thing is, the commentators, sorry, this is a very negative show, the home commentators, and this is not aimed at any one team, just the fact that, and I know they have to be, if you're commentating for a certain team, you need to be, I guess, shown to be like favourable towards your team. I get it. But to try and defend calls, and this is almost me sticking up for the refs, there was a call in the Sacramento game that they made on Malik Monk, and they called him for an offensive foul. He drove into the key around the free throw line, stopped for a jump shot, felt someone on his back, and he basically threw himself backwards into the player and threw up a shot, and he got called for an offensive foul. Blatantly an offensive foul. Correct call. The commentators tried to defend it. Oh, no, he just pulled up quickly. He just went straight up. If you go and watch that replay, the ruling or the technicality around this rule is, if it's a, I think it's an unnatural movement or something like that. And this was as blatant as they come. It was not a typical shooting motion at all. And the commentators tried to defend it and say this is wrong. And to me, that's just a bunch of crap. Like, you've got to support your team. But some are worse than others in just totally disregarding rules. And it's just frustrating to me that they do that. The third thing, and this is more of a player thing, just the way the game is playing. And again, this was in that last game. There was a situation where Kings were on a fast break. And this is more about the game in general and where we're headed. The Kings were on a fast break. Malik Monk, I believe it was, stole the ball off Rui Hachimura, dribbling down the center of the court, exactly how you should be running a fast break with wings coming down either side. He drew D'Angelo Russell from the left, which left Keon Ellis basically unmanned. And Malik Monk threw a pass to him where he should have been for a wide open layup, but Ellis was flashing out to the three-point line for a three. And this is more a commentary on the fact that someone is either directed or would choose to float out to the three-point line on a fast break than have a wide-open layup or dunk. Credit to him, they did run a similar play a little bit later and he got a wide-open dunk. But that's more, as I said, it's just a narrative on where the game is headed. And it's just wild to me that you would choose to go and shoot a corner three over a wide-open dunk. So anyway, they're my thoughts let's talk about the games. And actually, we've got Shining Knight in here. Let's just have a look at what. I don't know if you agree with me or not. Okay, agree. So many ejections. Yes. The refs. Yeah. Well, the refs bet on games. Who knows? Look, I don't know. Like, if the refs should fine. They should fine the refs for bad calls. I don't know what the solution is here. For me, it would be put the referees in front of the media or have some sort of accountability process with the is it the NBL they do it? Yeah, I think it is the NBL. And they do it a little bit in the NBA, I know. But with the NBL, which is the basketball here in Australia, and this is not for the refs, this is more for video referees, video umpires, officials, replay centres. After a call is made, they come on and clearly explain why that call was made. But it isn't a third party doing it. It is the person that has made the decision that does it. So the person in the booth, in the box, wherever they're doing it, that makes that call based on video replays, actually then comes onto the show straight away, not physically, obviously, comes on and talks through the call. And that's all you can ask for. Accountability. Why did you make the call? How did you see it? You don't have to agree with it, but at least they've given a reason for it. I would love for them to do something where the referees can actually come on and basically a Q&A, maybe not every game, because I know the referees, they're obviously on time schedules, they have things to do, places to be, but I don't know, set it up somehow. And I think that would certainly help not only the relationship between the referees and the players, but just the image of officials and the NBA and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I could be way off, but that's what I think. Mutual respect. That's what it's all about for me. Could be why the ratings are down. It's hard to watch sometimes. It really is. Yeah, and Edwards would be ejected in the first quarter if they actually enforce that. Some of them are. Yeah, Raptors commentators, I think, are decent. As I said, Knicks, I love the Knicks commentators. I think they're fine. Warriors, the Kings are not good. I like Orlando. I don't mind Atlanta. Some of the worser teams, I think you find it better because their commentators are sort of like, well, we can't really talk our team up because we're at 3-21. There are good and bad. I'm not going to lump this on all of them. Scalabrine is not great either for Boston. Anyway, let's get into the games. First game, Charlotte at Washington. Let me just drag this across. Washington get the win, 123-114. For the Hornets, Mark Williams and LaMelo both played, so keep an eye on the injury report for tomorrow's game. Mark Williams increasing slowly, 19 minutes in this one, 16-8 with a steal and a block, must roster player. LaMelo, perfect example of where we're headed. I think someone pop a question in about LaMelo? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, thoughts on LaMelo shooting 3 of 18 from 3. How many is too many? Well, when you play for the Hornets, it probably doesn't matter. And they didn't have Brandon Miller. So their offensive, I guess, weaponry in this game was LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges. That's sort of it. I don't think anyone else on that team you would call a reliable offensive threat. So, yeah, look, maybe 3 of 18 is too much. But LaMelo basically had a green light in this one. And look, his numbers ended up being pretty good other than the percentages. 9 of 10 from the line, 34, 13 with 4 steals. So everything else was fine. Miles Bridges had 16, 8 and 3. Not bad, not great. But I think with Brandon Miller there, it helps because Washington were able to basically just isolate LaMelo and Bridges anytime they touch the ball. So keep an eye, as I said, if Mark Williams sits tomorrow, I would make sure Nick Richards is added somewhere. And if LaMelo sits, I would make sure that Vasili Micic is added. Both were sort of average in this one, but tomorrow they could have some value. For Washington, Jordan Poole with a nice game, 27 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, continues his really strong season. Brogdon, Kispert, and George all returned. So Champagne only played 27 minutes in this one. I think he's going to trend towards a drop. He was okay here, 14-8 in his 27 minutes. But Kispert only played 19. Kyshawn George only played 17. That will go up. So I think Champagne's run might be coming to an end, assuming the Wizards can stay healthy. We also have Kyle Kuzma, who was questionable for this one, so he is close to returning. So I think Champagne's run will be coming to an end. Bob Carrington, I think we can just move on from him. Koulibaly, he's been pretty good lately and should be must roster rest of season. Jonas Valanciunas, we can move on. Oklahoma City and Orlando. OKC get the bounce back win here after losing on Tuesday, 105-99. Jalen Williams, probably his worst game, maybe, of the season. 11 points, 7 assists. Didn't shoot the ball well, no defensive stats. He certainly gets a pass here, given what we've had from him this season. Shea was great. Hartenstein, very good again. Not the best game for the Thunder in terms of numbers here, other than Shea. Caruso had 3 steals. If you picked him up for steals, Kayson Wallace did very little. I still think Wallace is okay as a 12-team guy, as is Lou Dort. He only had 2 points with 4 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. So, yeah, not too much to dissect here on the OKC side. And likewise for the Magic, Suggs left this game. He did come back. I think technically he was available to return, but didn't. So I would just keep an eye on his availability moving forward. It was a foot injury, I think, ankle or foot. So yeah, we know he's had an injury history. So keep an eye on that. If he misses time, Anthony Black was very good in this one, 23 points with a steal and 3 assists. So he would probably come into that starting lineup, I would assume. Cole Anthony would get a bump. Mo Wagner, as we said on the pregame show, coming off that 30-point game, he had 10 points with 2 assists and nothing else. So it was the outlier of all outliers. Jonathan Isaac, he had a steal and a block, but 17 minutes, not really enough. Goga, very good. Wendell Carter, 13 rebounds is good. I would still much rather Badadze over Carter. And De Silva was decent in this one, but I'm not running to grab him after one strong performance. Okay, sorry, I'm just reading through questions. Yes, they do. Okay, cool, we'll get to them. All right, Utah and Detroit. Utah get a rare win, 126-119. Jordan Clarkson was ejected in this one, so don't read too much into his performance. Obviously, without him there, Sexton got a lot more run and absolutely made the most of it, both offensively and turning the ball over. He had the rare double-double with 10 turnovers, but 30 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, 5 threes. Very, very nice from Sexton tonight. Kessler only had 6 points, but he did have 12 rebounds, 4 blocks, and more importantly, played 35 minutes. And Keontae George, who has picked things up of late, he was good again, 28, 4, and 3, must roster player. I think Clarkson is probably must roster as well. This was just that ejection that really cost him there. For Detroit, Tobias Harris returned, but Asar Thompson stayed in the starting lineup. And coming off his best game of the season, Asar was not great in this one. 9 points, 4 assists in 20 minutes. Still more of a stash. I don't think we need to be holding him, though. Tobias Harris wasn't much better. 8 po- 8 points in 30 minutes. Him we hold, but he's not very exciting at all. Jalen Duren, I talked about this on the pregame show. I talked about it with Dan Titus, I believe, as well. This was an opportunity for him to step up with no Isaiah Stewart against a young Detroit team with, I know they have Walker Kessler, who is a sizable center, but he is not experienced. So it was a good opportunity for Duren, and he did very little with it. 8 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals in his 26 minutes. Paul Reed, I don't think there's too much argument for the fact that he was better in this one. 18 minutes, 12 and 9 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. They're not going to start Reed over Duren, but yeah, I don't know if Duren is done this year, but it's pretty close. Cade was good. Beasley was good. We're not really interested in anyone else there. Yes, you are correct, chat. Duren did get outplayed by a guy they just waived. So that's never a good sign. Brooklyn at Toronto. Brooklyn get the win, 101 to Toronto, 94. Cam Johnson, 33 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, 4 threes, 11 of 12 from the line. He did a lot of his damage in the last quarter. I think he scored, they might have got a basket late. I think he scored 11 points in a row at one point, 8 free throws in a row. I think he was 3 of 4 at one point, ended up 11 of 12. So really nice game from Cam Johnson again. Ben Simmons, I thought, looked okay. 32 minutes, he's must roster if he's playing 30 minutes a night. He had 12, 7, and 5. And as for the rest of the guys on this team and who we're rostering, look, if Noah Clowney was going to get 37 minutes a night, then he would be a must roster player. He had 11 and 9 in those minutes. Shake Milton, who played 16, I think, in the last game, but had foul trouble, he played 29 in this one, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. So the numbers aren't spectacular, but if he's going to get 28 plus minutes, I think he is someone we probably hold. Keon Johnson, I don't think we need to. Nick Claxton, I think we hold him, but was he ejected? Did I read that? He was ejected again. Maybe he's just getting ejected because he doesn't want to play. I don't know. I think we hold him. If you could offload him for anyone, I would. He has been right up there with Jalen Duren in terms of most disappointing center. And look, that was why Clowney got those minutes. If I was the Nets, I would just roll Clowney out there. I would roll De'Ron Sharpe out there, but it's not going to happen just yet. Yeah, you just have to deal with it. For Toronto, RJ Barrett was a late scratch in this one. So Jonathan Mobo and Jacoby Walter both started and did nothing. Don't need to roster those guys. Scotty Barnes returned. Not his best game, 16, 3, and 6 with 2 blocks. So still good enough. Grady Dick, 19 points. One of the more surprising players, I think. And obviously when RJ comes back and when Quickly comes back, he's going to be impacted. But I think we just keep rolling with him for now. And, it was with no Jakob Poeltl. This was just a weird rotation. We did not get Fernando, which was a good thing, but we also didn't get more of Kelly Olynyk, which is not a good thing. So 8, 6, and 5 for Kelly. And until he hits 22, 23 minutes, he is not someone we need to roster, nor is Chris Boucher. Chicago at Boston. Upset. Bulls get the win. This was the game with the technical fouls that I was talking about. And interesting press conferences. If you haven't caught them, they did ask Joe Mazzulla about that altercation and his sort of actions after the game. And he's... He said he was simply trying to get to the refs to wish them happy holidays, happy Christmas. That seems legit, doesn't it? For Chicago, Zach LaVine was very good in this one, 36, 6, and 4. Dosunmu with no Josh Giddey. We talked about this on the pregame show as well. With no Josh Giddey, there's a clear path for Dasunmu to put up 12-team value, and he did 17, 8, and 4 with two steals. Kobe White was a little bit quiet. We still roster him. Vooch, only 9 shots, but still ended up with 16 and 14. Patrick Williams, this is a good game for Patrick Williams. 14 points in 23 minutes. 2 rebounds and an assist, nothing else. They continue to see something in him that we don't. Talen Horton-Tucker, always good to see him out on the court. And no, we don't need to add Talen Horton-Tucker. And with Giddey out, we didn't really get more of Lonzo. I was hoping we'd get 20-plus minutes. We got 18, and he had 3 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. No, Steve, I did not see that. So Claxton got ejected for throwing the ball into the crowd. Well, there you go. He just has had enough of playing for Brooklyn, potentially. For Boston, Porzingis played, so great that that heel injury wasn't anything serious. He finished with 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Look, the numbers are all pretty good here for the Celtics. Just their bench struggled to have an impact. Even Peyton Pritchard was a little bit quiet, 14, 6, and 3. Still fine, but his ceiling is just raised so much that this looks like an average game. Drew Holiday, on the other hand, continues to struggle. He did have a steal and a block, but only 6 points. I think we can move on from him, honestly, in 12-team leagues. I think there's enough streaming value out there that you can get more bang for your buck by just playing more games in his position. So I think we're good to do that. Golden State and Memphis. Oh, God. Dennis Schroeder debuted. Let's just say it wasn't great. They lost 144 to 93. So they lost by 51. And if it's at all possible, I think that was flattering. They were down by 52 in the third quarter. So this could have been worse, believe it or not. And I'm taking absolutely nothing from this game. Steph Curry, worst game of his career. Draymond Green, maybe the worst game of his career. Wiggins looked okay. Schroeder did not. 5 points, 5 assists on 2 of 12. I certainly wouldn't overreact or react, I guess, to this game. So I wouldn't be, if I've got Schroeder, I'm not going, okay, he's a drop. He's not a drop yet, but not a good sign. Kuminga came off the bench. I think if he is going to come off the bench now, he will trend towards being a drop. We're not there yet. Pajemski had 21 points, 6 assists, but as I said, I'm not reacting to this game at all because the starters basically played 24 minutes or less. So, yeah. Nothing. And for Memphis, also nothing. Zach Edey started, which was interesting, but the starters all played 20-ish minutes. Aldama was good. I mean, Luke Kennard got 15 points in 24 minutes. So, yeah, I would not take anything away from this game. I wouldn't be dropping or adding anyone based on this. Ja Morant did leave the game with a back injury, I believe it was. Where are you, Ja? Yes, back injury for Ja Morant. So just keep an eye on that. If he, I mean, this could have had a lot to do with the scoreboard. If he does miss time, Scottie Pippen becomes a pickup, I think. Atlanta continue their topsy-turvy season, losing to San Antonio. So they continue to win those games that they shouldn't and lose the games that they shouldn't. 133 to 126 in overtime. Trae Young, nice night from him, 23-16 with 3 steals. I talked about on the pregame show, Larry Nance would be someone to keep an eye on here, and he was very good, 21 and 13 with a steal and a block. Okongwu's out for a week here. I don't think Nance is going to play 31 minutes every night, but they stuck with him. They're not afraid to stick with him. We've seen it a few times this season. So he is someone I might take a chance on. yeah, Jalen Johnson, nice game from him. Reece Shea, we're not adding him. Dyson Daniels, we're going to get lots of Dyson Daniels questions here. 4 points, five rebounds and a steal. This is a bad game. Like, I'm the biggest Dyson Daniels preacher in the world. This is not a 12-team line, but he had early fouls, so he only played 9-10 minutes, I think, in the first half. Didn't get in a rhythm, just was, I mean, you look at the plus minus here. He's minus 34. Next worst is minus 9. So he was, it was just a bad game. So I'm certainly not overreacting. People will. If you want to try and buy low on him, I would absolutely make an offer. Throw out any top 70 player for him. Yeah, bad night, not going to lie, but I'm not too concerned just yet. DeAndre Hunter continues to be very good. Bogdanovic continues to not be very good. 31 minutes is encouraging, but he's very borderline. I don't think you need to be rostering him. For the Spurs, so they finally did it. They moved Devin Vassell into the starting lineup. This is their starting lineup. This is what their starting lineup should be. I would argue Harrison Barnes shouldn't be in there, but I don't see him dropping out. He had 6 points and did nothing, so that's fine. Chris Paul also injured his something. Where's Chris Paul? Is it in here? I thought he did. Maybe it was a tweet that I read about Chris Paul. Someone might be able to put something in the comments. I'm sure I read that Chris Paul left or went to the bench or something with a hand injury or a thumb or something. Keep an eye on that. Hurt his wrist. Okay. Came back in, shot a three. All right. So, yeah, I would still keep an eye on it just in case, but it is something that hopefully he can just play through. Vassell started. I didn't start him tonight. I started Miles Bridges instead, so that was a mistake on my part. But that was before I knew Vassell was starting. 38 minutes, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 5 threes. So we are all systems go on Devin Vassell. As we are with Jeremy Sochan, 42 minutes, 28 and 4 with a steal and 2 blocks. Sochan has been so good. So good. I picked him up off waivers, I think, in one league. And, yeah, just quietly having a really nice season. And Wemby, 42 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks, 7 threes. Not much to say. And when they're healthy, when they're playing well like this, Julian Champagne, 8 points, 2 steals. As expected, will probably trend towards being a drop. I wouldn't drop him just yet. I'd give him another couple of games. Keldon Johnson had 11 and 4 in 30 or 29 minutes. Again, very borderline. I'm not that interested in him. And the same goes for Steph Castle. Interesting in this one, Zach Collins was available to play. They went with Charles Bassey over him. So certainly not a fantasy relevant piece of news as long as Wemby's healthy, but something to monitor should Wemby get injured. There might be a little more confidence in Bassey now moving forward, which is great to see. New Orleans at Houston, another pretty ordinary performance by the Pelicans, continuing their poor start to the season. Trey Murphy was good. Herb Jones, no steals, but 20 points. Someone's got to score when they don't have Ingram and Zion. DeJounte Murray continues to be very, very mid, 14 and 8 with 5 rebounds. Yeah, look, it's fine, but it's not what we wanted. It's not top 30 numbers. Eve Missy, 11 and 11, no blocks, but the minutes for him are still very good. With Jordan Hawkins back, we only got 21 minutes of Brandon Boston. He did get 3 steals, but he needs 26 plus minutes to be a 12-teamer. So I would probably be okay moving on from him. If you want to give him one more game, go ahead. For Houston, no Tari Eason in this one. It was a fairly comfortable win. Wacky sort of lineups. Amen Thompson, only 24 minutes. Not a good night for him. 4 points, 5 assists, 2 blocks. He'll be okay. He has slowed a little bit. There was a period there where he was putting up really strong numbers, and that's cooled down. But that's always going to happen when you're coming off the bench. Your role is very sporadic. We need an injury, I think, for him to find consistent value, but still should be rostered. Dylan Brooks, 26 points. That sort of tells you everything you need to know about this game. Jabari Smith, 15 and 5. Again, very mid. Is he must roster? I don't know. He probably is, but I'm okay with moving on. I mean, we got 15 minutes of Reed Shepherd in this one, so that sort of tells you a lot about the game. Next one. How are we going for time? Oh, we're not too bad. Clippers at Dallas. Dallas were without, of course, Luka and Kyrie. So the Clippers get a fairly comfortable win, 118 to 95. Norm Powell continues his very, very good season. 29 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Look, fairly comfortable here. Derek Jones returned. We're not adding Derek Jones. But with him back, it just takes a little bit off the top four guys like Amir Coffey, Kevin Porter. Their numbers were okay in this one, at least from a point scoring standpoint, but I don't think any of them are guys we need to roster. Chris Dunn, steals only, I would say. He only got one of them in this game. I still think he's a decent enough steals sort of, streamer, long-term streamer. I don't know what we want to call him, but Dallas. Klay Thompson, he continues to play well. 22 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 threes. So, I think we keep rolling with him. There'll come a point, I think, when we won't, but for now, he's good to go. Quentin Grimes and Spencer Dinwiddie both started and were serviceable if you stream them in. Luka and Kyrie, I don't think either of them will miss significant time here. So Spencer and Grimes are just streams, ads until we get Kyrie and Luka back. PJ, another very PJ game. And Derek Lively, 13-7 with 3 blocks in his 28 minutes. Looks good to go. Daniel Gafford, I think we can probably move on. They seem to be pretty comfortable limiting him now to around 15 minutes, and that is not enough. So we can move on from him. And Naji Marshall, look, maybe give him one more game, but his run was never going to end. It was never going to continue. Sorry, let's say things right. Indiana at Phoenix. Pacers get the win, 120 to 111. A very nice Pascal Siakam game, 25 and 18 with a steal and a block. That block was, in the last bit, very crucial. So a nice night for him. Even Mathurin had his shot falling tonight. He got some defensive stats. Miles Turner, as he does, very low rebound numbers, but 19 points, 2 blocks. Halliburton, look, he was a slow start, but he salvaged it with some late numbers, 13 and 12. Just didn't shoot the ball a lot. When he's shooting the least amount of shots in the starting lineup, something's going on there. I know he defers by nature, and they won, so can't really complain. Nembhard had 19 and 4. I'm not running to grab him, but his minutes probably warrant a roster spot in a lot of 12s. Obi Toppin continues to play well. He's a hold for now, but the minutes and this production is not sustainable given his minutes. So he had 13 and 8 with a steal and a block, but 17 minutes. There's going to come a point where this ends up being 7 and 8 with a steal, which is not good enough. Ben Shepherd returned, had 2 points in his 16 minutes. We're not adding him. The return of Shepherd really just cuts into the value for guys like TJ McConnell, who only played 16 minutes. And I think he's still a streaming consideration for assists and steals, but not someone we need to be holding on to for more than a game or two, depending on the schedule. For the Suns, they were healthy and then they were not. Devin Booker left this game with a groin injury. Given he has a history of soft tissue injuries, I think he probably misses at least a game, maybe two, maybe a week. We look at, there's no word yet on the severity of this, but we know that the Suns will be cautious when it comes to these guys and their injuries. So I would expect a couple of missed games here for Booker, which basically just means Grayson Allen should come into the starting lineup. I guess there's a case for Royce O'Neal coming in to the starting lineup, play as a secondary ball handler a little bit more than Grayson Allen. But in saying that, Beal can handle the ball, Durant can handle the ball. So it probably is Grayson Allen. We probably go and add him if Booker is going to miss time. Nurkic had 12 and 10. He's a hold, but he's a very unsexy hold. And Beal, again, 16 and 2. Numbers aren't great. He's a hold, but I don't know. Maybe our expectations are a little bit out of whack. New York and Minnesota. Karl-Anthony Towns return to Minnesota. They get the win 133 to 107. And, of course, despite the game being a blowout, Cat played 38 minutes. Mikal Bridges played 36 minutes. They did limit Brunson and OG a little bit, so that's a good thing. Cat gets some revenge on Minnesota. Very nice night for him, 32 and 20 with two steals. Precious Achiuwa started, so no Josh Hart. He was out due to personal reasons. So I thought McBride would come in, but they went a little bit bigger. And which sort of, I guess, sort of makes sense against Randall and Gobert. Achiuwa was pretty good. We know both he and McBride, we've said this all along, it only takes one injury or absence for both of those guys to become addable. And I think both were tonight. Precious Achiuwa had 13 and 10 with a steal. Miles McBride had 16 and 8 with a steal. So if we get word that Hart's going to miss another game or two, I would continue to roster both of them. No one else, though. For Minnesota, a very bad one here. McDaniels, talked about him. We have talked about him, that he was on a bit of a hot streak and it was going to come to an end, and it did. 8 points, six rebounds. The two blocks are nice, but we can move on. Rudy Gobert, I really don't need to talk about Rudy Gobert. 3 points, four rebounds, two steals. Very bad. I haven't checked my lineups for tonight, but I know I had Rudy active in one or two, so I'm a bit worried about looking at those scores. Look, Randall was pretty good. Anthony Edwards was, I guess he was okay. 17 points, seven assists, three steals. He's still pretty underwhelming, and as I said, he's not one of my favorite players anyway. We did get a good Dante DiVincenzo game out of nowhere, 15 points, six rebounds. I'm not rushing to add him after this. It was really just a blowout. Mike Conley was terrible, 3 points, two assists. I'm holding Mike Conley just. I'm not adding DiVincenzo, and I'm not adding Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Okay, Denver, second last game, surely. Denver at Portland. Portland, they got out to a good lead. Denver came back, which was always going to happen. The Blazers get the win on an Anthony Simons sort of running bank shot over Russell Westbrook, an ailing Russell Westbrook. For the Nuggets, Christian Brown played in this one, 13, 4, and 1 with a steal, so sort of in line with what he's been doing all season. Jokic, another nice night for him. Aaron Gordon, on the other hand, one of his poorer games, 2 points, six rebounds, three assists. He's a hold, but we actually know that this is what he can do. We've seen this in the last few years. Westbrook still played a lot of minutes in this one, 19 and 7 with two blocks and a steal. So amazingly, he's a must-roster player at the moment with the numbers that he's putting up. For Portland, we finally got to see the three-headed monster at center. DeAndre Ayton started, played 35 minutes, had 15-13 with four blocks. So a good line. I mean, we've said if he plays, he is at the moment the best of the three in terms of fantasy value. We just don't know how long he's going to play. But it was sort of, I don't know, it was going to go one of two ways here. They were either going to play Ayton and then one of Klingon or Williams, or they were going to play Ayton and just split those minutes across Klingon and Williams, which would make both of them tough to hold. And we got the latter. So basically 11 minutes, 12 minutes for both. Klingon had 3 points, two rebounds and a steal. Robert Williams had 0 points, four rebounds, no defensive stats. So it's a hard one because I think based on what we saw here, Klingon and Williams can both be dropped. We don't need to hold guys that are only going to play 11 or 12 minutes. But Ayton is going to get injured at some point or sick, or he's going to fall down some stairs or sleep on a weird bed or forget to get on the plane. I don't know what he's going to do, but he will miss games at some point. And then Klingon and Williams will become must roster players. So if you can afford to stash, if you have them on your team, I would. Klingon, I think, would still be my preference, but it's hard to know. Kamara, doing just enough, 14, 8, 3. We roster him. We roster Jeremy Grant. Really nice night for Anthony Simons and Shaedon Sharpe here. They both had 27, 28 points respectively. So, yeah, very nice. And Denny Avdia, 19 points. The 21 minutes are a bit concerning. The numbers were good enough tonight, but if he's only going to play 21 minutes, I don't see this as being a sustainable run of production. And the last game, the Lakers at Sacramento. Lakers get the win 113 to 100. Other than the shooting splits, Anthony Davis very good in this one, 21 and 20 with six blocks and three steals, 7 of 20 from the line. Seems to be resorting to mid-ranges a lot more, which is impacting his field goal percentage. He only took one three-pointer, so it's those free throw sort of range shots that just weren't dropping. But still, very nice line. You can't really complain too much. LeBron continues to show signs of aging. And he got a chase down block, but there were a couple of instances late-ish in the game where he thought he was fouled. He just sort of complained to the refs and didn't get back on defense. So, yeah, signs of aging, but still very good, obviously. Hachimura, we don't need him. Max Christie, he's looking good as a starter, but the numbers I don't think are going to be there for him to be someone we need to roster. D'Angelo Russell, 16 and 6. It was okay. We probably hold, but I just don't see his role getting beyond 25 minutes a night at this point. Dalton Connect, remember when he was good? Good times. Sacramento, poor night for DeRozan. Keegan Murray continues to be poor. DeRozan, obviously, this would give him a pass here. Murray, I think he's a hold as well. He's very close, though. He's one of those guys, he had two steals and a block here. But when his shot's not falling, he typically doesn't have that to fall back on. Sabonis was good. Malik Monk continues to play very well as a starter. De'Aaron Fox, 26 points. Nice night for him. With Huerta back, Keon Ellis only played 21 minutes. I'd probably prefer Huerta. They seem to like him over Keon Ellis, despite the fact that Ellis, I think, has more of an impact on the game. But, yeah, if they're both healthy, it's tough to actually make a case for either of them being must roster. And that's all the games. It was a lot. We have questions. Let's do them very quickly. Okay, where are we up to? All right. Do I think Melo sits tomorrow? Yeah, maybe. I think there's a good chance he does. I would certainly hold Micić until tomorrow. There's no word yet on LaMelo. Obviously, they haven't released their injury report, but yeah, I think there is a chance that both he and Mark Williams do take a seat tomorrow. They do play Philly too, so yeah. All right. I've got Chad ranting, very good. Love when people have a rant. Amen and Dyson are, yeah, they were sad today. I've got both of them in a few teams. Yeah, look, not much you can do. Don't know how bad the Suggs ankle sprain is. As I said, he was cleared to return, but he didn't return. But ankles can be tricky. They flare up overnight often. So, yeah, I would prepare for an absence here, but no word on that yet. Yep, Malik Beasley, both he and Santi Aldama are the very, very, very long streamers this season. With both of these centres ramping up in minutes, which one would you rather have rest of season? Mark Williams or Derek Lively? Per game, Mark Williams, or per minute, or both, Mark Williams. I think he can do more in less minutes. In terms of role consistency, probably Derek Lively, just because I think it's pretty clear now that the Mavericks want to play him 30-plus minutes a night, or at least 30. He will do enough. If Mark Williams was playing 32 minutes a night, clearly Mark Williams, but I don't know if he gets to that number, and I don't know. He could sit back-to-backs all season, so it's a tough one. If you can take a bit of a risk, I would go with Mark Williams. If you just need a lock-in center that, assuming he's healthy, will play a solid role, get you blocks, get you rebounds, I would go with Derek Lively. A man or Caruso, still a man, I think, pretty clearly for me. I just think he has at least a path to minutes, and they have shown that they're willing to. He just wasn't good tonight, but they are happy to play him 30 minutes when he's playing well. We haven't seen Caruso get above about 24. Tempted to drop him in for Caruso or Beasley. Yeah, you should hold. Beasley, I don't know, he's a weird one. If you need points and threes, I guess you could consider it. I still think Amen has the best overall value there. Yes, Bruce Brown returning is gonna cut into Kelly. Olynyk needs to be traded. I don't know whether they will, but there's no future for him there in Toronto. Lonzo is piquing my interest. Yeah, look, he looks good. I think he needs more minutes. He needs 22, 23, and he only got 18 tonight. But he looks good. Like, he looks good when he's on the court. He looks healthy. He's doing what we think he should be doing. So if LaVine is moved at any point, we don't know what the Bulls are going to do, but he is certainly, I don't think he has to be rostered, but he's certainly someone I'd just be keeping one eye on. As a Steph owner going against AD team today. Yes, it was. Anyone who had Steph Draymond today was a bit of a kick in the nuts, as it was for anyone with Dyson Daniels. Yeah, look, he has cooled off offensively, defensively as well. Let me just pull up his game log. I have to try and make a case for Dyson, don't I? Come on. All righty, let's load up. Come on, basketball monster. All right, Dyson Daniels. Offensively, absolutely. Can't argue with that. He's had 4, 11, 9, 18, 11, 9. Again, though, I do think this is a really good example of players whose bar or fantasy ceiling was raised quite early in the season due to a window of like a week of very strong production, which in week 3 is a third of the season. So it's a big portion of what we've seen so far. But as we get further into the season, that week becomes a very small sample size. There was a week where he had 18 or a week or whatever days where he had 18, 16, 28, 25, 12, 14. So I think that raised our expectations. Coming into the season, I saw him as 12 points, maybe 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.8 steals. And if we look at his numbers over the last month. Let's go month. He's at 11 points, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 2.4 steals. Top 90 player. That's where I had him. That's where I had him to coming into the season as about a top 80, top 90 player. He's obviously exceeded those expectations. So what we've seen, I think, the last week is worst case for him. Like, I think he will be better. The defense will get there. He's still getting deflections. He's still typically getting you at least a steal a game. Prior to this game, he had one steal, one block, zero steals, two blocks, five steals, one block, four steals, zero blocks. So, yes, it has come down, but I'm still confident enough that I think he will be good. Is Julian Champagne a drop? He's very close. Give him one more game if you want. I did expect both he and Justin Champagne to be drops once teams around them or the players around them got healthy. Josh keeps telling us Norm isn't prime Steph, but he clearly is. Norm's been amazing. I think I only have him in one league. I just want to pull up his game log. Kawhi coming back is going to impact him, but I still think he's going to play significant minutes. I mean, if he'd been playing really well and the Clippers had just been losing all these games, then I would go, yeah, okay, maybe they're not. But Clippers have been good. I know that they lost three in a row, but they've now won their last two. They've certainly won a lot more than they've lost. And, and Norm is just going off. So he will take a hit, but I think he's carved out a solid enough role. Beal has been so bad. Yeah, I think you have to hold him. If you could move him, I would consider it. But I just don't think, given his injury history and sort of inconsistent production, I just don't know what. If you could move him for a top 70 player, I probably would. Top 50, absolutely. Anything below that, I'd probably just stick with Beal, I think. Brandon Ingram for Rozier and Herb Jones. I'm on the clock. All right, I'll bring that up. Sorry, I'm on the clock in a live draft. And what a wacky draft it has been. My team is very odd. Let's have a look. Oh, yes, I am. All right, I'll do that in a second. BI for Rozier and Herb Jones. I'd probably still hold Rozier, I think. Can I explain the Suns' fit? Feels like they have Tyus, Nurk, and three ISO players. I kind of hate it. It's weird. I mean, they've been winning. We haven't really seen a big enough sample size of all three healthy, but it does. Yeah, there's not a lot of chemistry yet, and that's not surprising given the injuries they've had. So I think there will be still some adjusting to come, but it's definitely a weird fit. Trade Chet for RJ Barrett and Asar Thompson. Probably depends on where you are in the standings. If you're near the top, yep, I would do that. If you're down the bottom, if you're trading away Chet, if you're at the top, I wouldn't. So I would hold Chet. If you are at the top of your standings and you're going quite well without him, no need to bring in Barrett and Asar. If Chet being out has caused you to fall into sort of the 6 to 10 range or something like that, and you just need production, it's not a bad return. Asar is iffy. RJ's been good, but with Barnes back and Quickly maybe back in the next 2 weeks, I think Barrett may have peaked this season. So, yeah, I don't know if you could ask for more, though, given the uncertainty with Chet. I mean, we might not see him till the All-Star break, to be honest. which makes it tough. So I think I would hold Chet if you can, if you're just doing well. But if you just need numbers now, I'm okay with doing that because I also think that Chet probably won't be back until close to the fantasy playoffs. Do I think Booker will actually be out for 2 weeks? He could be. We need to get word on whether this is a groin sort of soreness or a strain or more of a precautionary thing. As I said, I do think he misses at least a game or two. If it is a groin strain, then, yeah, it could be 2 weeks because the Suns have demonstrated a willingness to give guys extra time off. They're one of the teams that that do that. All right, let's do a live draft pick. So this is a dynasty league. I'm punting a lot of categories. I'm looking for assists and steals and threes. My last two picks actually have been Lonzo Ball and Chris Paul. With what round are we in? 13. So we're in the 15th round of a 12-team draft, picking at 100. So pick 172. I went very young early in my draft. So I've got Cade Cunningham, LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, Devin Vassell, Zion, not that young, but he is my center. I did have to get a secondary center, and I went with Santi Aldama. So there you go. I'm running very thin on centers. So I'm probably just looking for some more guard stats here. Bit of upside. Don't need to be super young because I've got my core is already pretty young. This is a 22 rounds. Thankfully, I went with Santi Aldama. Yes, I did. So I'm going to go. It's hard. One thing I wish Fantrax did was show the age of the player. They don't at this point, which is a bit annoying. But maybe you can change it. I don't know. Maybe you can. Let me just have a look here. All right. This is compelling viewing, compelling listening as I bring up all my draft stuff here. All right. So I'm probably looking for, and this is free throws attempted, not free throw percentage. So I think I'm pretty good in my stats that I need to be, but I probably do need some more assists maybe. Assist free throws. I don't know. It's once you get into this range of 100 and 170 in any draft, even if it is a dynasty draft where there's going to be some older guys available. So, yeah, a lot of these guys like Mike Conley, Marcus Smart, who obviously are a good fit, but I'd like to get someone who has more than a year left in them or more than 2 years. Kevin Porter's there. He's interesting. But again, quite old. Bogdan is a good fit. He's pretty old as well. It's very, very unappealing, to be honest. I actually don't know which way I'm going to go. Anyway, this is going to waste too much time because I need to look at it. So, and Chad has two guys that fit my build at the top of his board. So maybe I will take one of them. But I'm not going to do it now because I do have to go off and have a look at it properly. So, that will do for today's show. It was a long one. Sorry, there were a lot of games. I had a big rant at the start, but yeah, I love a rant. I'll be back tomorrow. Oh, will I? Yes, I'll probably be able to squeeze in a pregame show. We are going away for Christmas just for the day to see my wife's parents. So we will be leaving early in the morning, but there's only 3 games, I think, tomorrow. So I should be able to squeeze in a pregame show, a quick one. And then I will be able to do a post-game show because we will be back. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, for listening, for questions, all of that usual stuff. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.